We continue reading the prophet Isaiah. We come today to chapter 14, verse 24. We'll read through the end of chapter 15. It's on page 736 if you're using the Pew Bible. Now, when Christians are seeking comfort in the Bible, I don't think many say, let's go to the judgment oracles of Isaiah. It's going to really lift our spirits. And yet that is the purpose for which these are given. The context is the great threat against Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judah from the mighty Assyrian army, that vast and deadly foe. And as these other nations are being, their judgment is foretold. We just saw the judgment of Babylon that was literally fulfilled. It's still under the sands. Now we're going to get to Assyria. We're going to get to Philistia. We're going to get to Moab. The purpose of God is to give comfort to his people, and to do it in three ways, which we see here. The first is God declares his sovereign purpose, that he is ruling according to a plan that cannot be opposed. You see at the very beginning, as I have planned, so it shall be. And he goes on later on and says, no one's going to stop my arm. I'm going to fulfill my plan. And Christians go, that's like really good news. We're beset in a world that's opposed to us, that tempts us. We have brothers and sisters undergoing real persecution, deadly persecution. And when these things happen, when our own lives are falling apart, we can go, you know, I don't understand this, but there's a sovereign God who does, and he's a good God. He's a loving God. He sent his son to die for my sin. And so the manifestations and declarations that God has a purpose and plan, that he's sovereign, it's such a comforting thing for us. It was designed to be that way for Isaiah's Jerusalem. Now, secondly, we see God's purposes at work in the judgment of the wicked. Not only is he going to work through these troubles, he's going to judge the wicked. He's going to do so in a different way than his discipline of the church. You know, the Bible says that when we go through trials, often God is he's strengthening us. He's disciplining us. He's training us so that our faith will be stronger. So what's God doing? Well, it may be that he's challenging you, and you're going to go through a hard time. You're going to come out stronger. Even when Israel and Jerusalem were severely judged in the Old Testament, there would be a remnant, and that remnant would grow, but not so the wicked. No remnant for them. And in these things, I mean, when they're judged, it's over. And there's language here, it's very stark about the situation of the wicked. There is no remnant for them. God is not building them up. No, he's ripping apart and tearing them down. They do have one remedy, and that is to come to the gospel. And that's going to be mentioned here in verse 32 at the end of chapter 14, the refuge that is in Christ. Well, lastly, I just want to point out that in this long series of judgments, how significant it is that he brings up Assyria. And likewise, when you and I read in the Bible that there's going to be a day of judgment and God's going to overthrow evil in the end, there's a practical application. Namely, we do not need to live in fear. God can handle it. These are the people who are threatening them. There are things that threaten us. There's things that threaten you. God really can handle it. We need to trust him. We need to glorify him. We need to do his work as his people. Well, praise the Lord for such a God. Let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 24 of Isaiah 14. The Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so shall it be, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountains trample him underfoot. And his yoke shall depart from them, and his burden from their shoulder. This is the purpose that is purposed concerning the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? In the year that King Ahaz died came this oracle. Rejoice not, O Philistia, all of you, that the rod that struck you is broken. For from the serpent's root will come forth an adder, and its fruit will be a flying fiery serpent. And the firstborn of the poor will graze, and the needy will lie down in safety, but I will kill your root with famine, and your remnant it will slay. Wail, O gate, cry out, O city, melt in fear, O Philistia, all of you, for smoke comes out of the north, and there is no straggler in his ranks. What will one answer the messengers of the nation? The Lord has founded Zion, and in her the afflicted of his people find refuge. An oracle concerning Moab. Because Ar of Moab is laid waste in a night, Moab is undone. Because Ker of Moab is laid waste in a night, Moab is undone. He has gone up to the temple and to Dibon, to the high places, to weep over Nebo and over Medeba. Moab wails. On every head is baldness, every beard is shorn. In the streets they wear sackcloths. On the housetops and in the squares, everyone wails and melts in tears. Heshbon and Elealeh cry out. Their voice is heard as far as Jahaz. Therefore the armed men of Moab cry aloud. His soul trembles. My heart cries out for Moab. Her fugitives flee to Zoar, to Eglath-Shelishiah. For at the ascent of Luhith, they go up weeping on the road to Horonaim. They raise a cry of destruction. The waters of Nimrim are a desolation. The grass is withered. The vegetation fails. The greenery is no more. Therefore, the abundance they have gained and what they have laid up, they carry away over the brook of the willows. For a cry has gone around the land of Moab. Her wailing reaches to Eglaim. Her wailing reaches to Beer Elim. For the waters of Dibon are full of blood. For I will bring upon Dibon even more, a lion for those of Moab who escape, for the remnant of the land. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.